Well, we're going to minister today again. This time we're going to go back over to our original. Last week the Lord led me off to minister in something else, but I want to. We're going to go over it again today and living a life of faith. Hugely important thing when we're dealing with the Word of God. I know some people, you know, have asked, you know, why, you know, I've heard people over the years, you know, why we teach so much on the areas of faith and things and stuff. Number one is the Bible sure talks a lot about it. And the fact, if you have the thing, if without faith you can't please God, then faith is a pretty huge thing. And I think that's one of the things that most of Christianity has missed. Kenneth Hagin said this years ago, and as I've grown in the Lord and over the years and living this life for now over 30 years of living a life, this so Christian life, as people call it, and I found this, that, you know, is living in it, that most Christians live most of their Christian life and never please God because they live basically their own life. And what they do, instead of living a life of faith, what they do is basically live their own life. And then, now they'll talk and tell you, oh yeah, you know, they recognize God, but what they do is they basically decide what they want to do, they decide, and then they ask God to bless it. They don't ever find out what God wants and then follow God's plan. They're always just follow their own plan, you know. I'd like to do this or I'd like to do that. We ask God to bless it. Well, that there's nice if God's moving you in that direction. But if He's not moving you in that direction, well, then there's no faith involved in it. There wouldn't be faith involved in something. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we have to find out God's plans and purposes for us. And, you know, we're in a time of year we talk about God coming and God sending His Son and His Son is dying. This whole thing is about faith. But we need to understand that God just didn't all of a sudden just, you know, pick out a plan one day and start and say, well, you know, I'm going to send my son. Why don't I send my son? What do you think we'll do this? And, hey, Dad, you know, when do you want me to go? Well, let's try next year. What do you think next year we'll do this thing and we'll do it? You know, people need to understand that God has a system in motion that is established concerning His kingdom. And everything in God's kingdom has rules on how it's run. You know, I was always taught as a young boy in church that God sort of just did whatever He wanted to do. You know, God could do whatever He wants. But you know, when I got born again and I started studying the Bible, I started to realize, well, God doesn't operate like that at all. You know, if God has rules and the way things run, and He abides by them, He follows them. Jesus, now, if God didn't abide by His rules, then all of Jesus' parables are a fraud. Every one of them's a fraud, because if He ain't going to follow them, then we can't count on anything in the kingdom. So we would learn nothing by the parables. The parables would be meaningless things. Jesus would say the kingdom of heaven is likened unto such and such. If God does whatever He wants, well, then the kingdom's not like any of that. Then God can just change things as He goes along. So, and I understand, because they believe that way. They think one day God's nice and the next day He's grumpy and He nails you. You know, one day He likes you and He'll heal you. 2 weeks down the road, He'll send a plague on your family. Well, sure, because He might do that because He wants to teach you something. And you just never know, you know. And so, you know, I often thought about, I mean, if you go back and look at, like Solomon. I mean, Solomon, and they were worshiping at the temple when they opened up, and this whole psalm tells us, and we look in Solomon's too, in the psalm, we have a psalm from it, but also we have over where Solomon, they just kept, everything they said, then they repeated, for His mercy endureth forever. Well, according to Christianity that I was raised in, His mercy might last a week or a day or something, but you next week, you can't count on it. Next week, God might do anything, you know? And so you're taught that. So really, in actuality, when I started learning these things, I found out, well, that's why they couldn't live a life of faith. They never knew what God would do. They never knew what God would do. But when I started to look at the Scriptures, I started to find out that God had a plan. Now, at first, when I started, I had no clue about the plan. I didn't have, but you know, over time I learned about His plan. There's one thing, is the thing that amazes me that I've learned and understand more today than I did years ago. And I think as you go on in time, you learn this, but I started to understand the plan of redemption. See, most think the plan of redemption started when Jesus died on the cross. If you only get it from there, you're going to be pretty much a spiritual baby. Jesus' plan of redemption started in the garden. The creation of man was about redemption. God had to deal with the devil. You need to understand this. Man was God's plan in the earth to put sin away forever. Man's the plan. God, through becoming a man, put sin away forever. It was through man. That was the first revelation that God gave me after I was a young Christian. In fact, I wasn't a Christian more than a couple months. And I asked God one day, because I don't know about you, most people would, I was taught as a young child, you never question God about anything. And that's why they stayed so dumb. They never ask any questions, and so they just made up their Christianity as they went along. Now, they didn't try it. They weren't bad people, but that's what happened. By their fear of asking God questions, and I asked God this. I said, Lord, I said, I didn't make the devil. I didn't do that. You know, I didn't make the fall of man. I had nothing to do with that. I was just born into this thing, weren't you? You were born into this earth? Well, I was born into the earth. But I wanted to understand what it was going on here. And I said, God, we got the devil. We got this thing going on here. And you know, man, and I said, people are in this earth. They're dying and going to hell. There's some people accepting Christ and going. And I said, what is this thing with man? I said, I have no clue about it. I don't get it. And I've never heard anybody ever tell me about it. So I figure they don't get it. Nobody gets it either. And I said, I want to know about this. I said, man, it's like, we're just, you know, most people, this is how religion comes up with all this stuff. They just sort of like, it's like throwing darts at a dartboard. And if you're real good at it, you might hit the bullseye often. But if you're like me and don't ever hardly play it, you might hit the wall a few times and not the board. And I believe that's most of Christianity. They're just throwing things out there and they're trying to find this out. And in an instant, when I said that, I had a vision. And it absolutely startled me. I would say the vision lasted for 3 seconds. But in 3 seconds, I got an eternal revelation. It was the most phenomenal thing. You know, people like Kenneth Hagin got called up to heaven and got a revelation about stuff? I got a bigger revelation than some of his was, and it happened, and I didn't get called up to heaven, but it was just, man, about 3 seconds I had this vision. And I saw what God did through man to defeat Satan. And this is what the Lord said to me after the vision. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, he said, man's my prize. He said, man is my prize package that I made to defeat Satan. See, man is everything to the heart of God. That's why he went what he did to redeem man. He knew what was going to happen in this thing. And he had his plan to redeem man. That's what he wanted to do. And it started back in the beginning. And if now we're reading from Hebrews. We've been studying in Hebrews the first chapter. These people that are picked out in this chapter were picked out specifically by God to represent generations at different periods of time who walked in God's plan. So, and by doing it, they are the ones who are the reason why Jesus could come. They followed God's plan. And really, redemption could not have been done without man. Impossible. It couldn't have been done. God had to have a legal way to deal with Satan for what he had done in his fall. And he did it through man in the earth. Did you ever think about this? Satan was down in this earth. He was down here running. He was cast down to this earth before man was ever put on this earth. He was cast down here. Right in the middle of hell's carrying on and judgment had fallen on it, God comes back, makes a creation and sticks man in it. And the devil thinks, oh man, I'm going to lay one on God. The devil never realized that man was God's atomic bomb that was going to blow up in the devil's face and forever lock him in the lake of fire for eternity. He never knew that. He didn't get it. And really, that's what when I saw that little vision, that just took place in an instant of time. And it's like I saw centuries and eons of time passed. It was an absolutely astounding thing. And I was like, Wow. And you know, but you know, the whole thing of it is, when I saw that thing, I still today, I'm still getting revelations by looking into the scriptures about that, because I didn't understand it all when I saw it then. But I really saw that, and God showed me, man's his key. That's why God loves man so much. That's why religion always tries to beat man down and make man a worthless thing. Oh, you know, God loves you, but he won't heal you. That's what religion does, you know. He likes you, but he likes you that much. He saved you, but you dog, you get to heaven and you'll be squallering around on the floor at the throne. You know, he'll take you there, but you'll probably be a slave. And tries to treat man. And so when we're reading these things and looking into these things, and in Hebrews, where we had started in the beginning of this thing, in Hebrews, we found out in Hebrews the 11th chapter, and in verse 1, we'll go back there, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, it's the evidence of things not seen. And I just want you to always remember the fact that when we're dealing with the areas of faith, we're dealing with an unseen realm. But does not mean that it's a realm that is not known. You have to know about the realm to have faith. You don't need to see something to have faith. This is a wonderful thing. You need to understand how wonderful it is that God did this thing of faith that you don't need to see to believe. If you need to see to believe, everything would have to work perfect. Have you looked around lately? have you seen out there lately? It doesn't. Faith is based upon it. In fact, faith is based upon God's word. So God has to be totally trustworthy. He has to be. His word has to be 100% trustworthy for you to have faith in him. It has to be. If there's any other way, if anybody can prove to me it's somewhere or other that you can't trust his word, then we have a valid reason not to walk by faith. We have a valid reason not to. And see, this is the most wonderful thing. And as I learn over time, and I thank God I had a good teacher, Kenneth Hagin, and listening to his teaching, even before I ever went to Bible school, I listened to his, read his books, listened to his tapes. And it's one thing is he convinced me through the Word of God. He convinced me that God's Word was totally 100% accurate and 100% trustworthy. That you could always trust his Word. I learned over time, I didn't have to understand all about what the Word was saying to trust it. Maybe, you know, God could speak things and I sure wouldn't, you know, I would read things in the Bible and think, wow, that seems a little bit out there for me. My mind couldn't quite grab around it. But I would always stop and say, you know, it's true. It doesn't matter if my mind can grasp it. It's true and it's trustworthy. I may not understand it, but here's what a lot of people do. They don't understand it. They just discard it to the side. Well, you know, that's a little wild out there. That's a little far out. No, it has to be trustworthy. And it has to be 100% trustworthy and true, or it is impossible to have faith. You can't have faith without it. And I love the fact that I don't have to go by what I see. Because this is one thing, as I've walked in this earth the years, I've seen things deteriorating. But I've found my faith is growing. What I'm seeing is deteriorating. What I'm seeing is getting worse. But my faith is growing. Hallelujah. I'm getting more confident in God as I go on because I learned how it works. Hallelujah. I don't need to see. I believe in his word. And that's what we're dealing with. It's a life of following the word. So it's one thing is the more you learn about the word, the more you learn how to walk this life. In other words, how to live in it, to seek God's will. When I first started off, it was the hardest thing in the world for me to, in my comprehension or thinking, trying to find God's will. You know, I was doing all kinds of stuff, trying to, you know, maybe if I, you know, pray fast, do this, do that. You know, you'd sit down and, you know, my whole concept and idea of how I did things was maybe a bit laborious. Probably more work than it was faith. But, you know, it's like a child. You stumble around out there. You're falling down, getting up. You know, you're learning how to walk in it. But I learned over time it was none of that. You know, that when I learned over time that revelation comes from God, you can't force it. It's just like going to school. I learned it was a lot like Kenneth Hagin taught spiritual growth. He said spiritual growth was very much like physical growth. So he said, you know, you're not going to go from first grade to 12th grade. That ain't happening. Boy, when I learned that, that was a wonderful revelation for me. I kept trying to go to 12th grade. I was not even ready. But that was hurtful to me, because what I was trying to do was bypass certain learning. When I found out that what I needed to do was there's certain things, that basics I needed to learn and know, and as I developed in those, I could step to higher things. But when I started off, man, I always think it's like my grandson. It doesn't matter what you want to do, I help. He wants to help. And he wants to help with a lot of things that are way over his head. But that's being a child. And that's what we are spiritually. And you know what? You need to learn this. God is merciful. You know? Paul is very merciful to Braden. And he should be. He's learning it. You don't want to slap him down and keep him from learning. You don't want to, you know, you can't do it that way. You know, enough people have tried that. It don't work. You don't want to beat him down to stop him. But you know, he's always going to try to do something. But he'll develop over time, and he's going to go through the thing where he's going to come and learn that, oh, you know, there's certain things I can't do yet. He'll arrive to that place to start to understand where he can attain and what he can, you know. Unless he comes out of some of these families today. I've never seen people so ignorant and people with so much lack of wisdom like there are today. People are just, it amazes me. But I learn over time of what I could do. And I learned sometimes I bit off on things trying to walk by faith where I was in no place to walk by faith in. And, fell down. But I had to learn after a while that I couldn't get up and try that again yet. I had to back up and go do something else. But I eventually got over where I could do that. But this walk, and the whole thing of it is I found out this, is you gain revelation from God. One of the things you have to be very careful at, and I don't have this notes. I was going to teach on some other stuff, but I really believe the Holy Spirit's leading in this direction. Is dealing in areas, because you need to be careful about who you're listening to for your own spiritual development. One of the biggest mistakes that many people do is they have their favorite preacher who maybe teaches on a certain thing or certain stuff, and they keep following that, and there's certain things that they need to learn. See, I found this over time of what happened, and I learned from Kenneth Hagin over time, where God would start to prompt me to look into a certain direction. And I had to learn to take my time and study, because there may be other things I enjoy. There's other things that I like and I enjoyed about studying. And I felt like a lot of people did this, back when I first come in the kingdom and they were talking a lot about Jesus returning. And so many people got over into the prophecy and stuff of Jesus coming. And today they never grew up spiritually. They never grew up. And the reason they never grew up is because they never learned a lot of the fundamental things. They were so busy learning about prophecy, all about Jesus coming back. Well, today, some of those people hardly even follow God anymore. Why? Because they shipwrecked. But they didn't learn. It's sort of like a child, you take a little child and, I want to learn algebra. It's really neat. I saw Daddy doing algebra and I want to learn algebra. Well, I'm sorry, you're going to have to, what do we do in school? We have certain basic things that you have to learn or attain to arise a certain point. You need to understand that. You need to understand, especially, we should have, as just humans in the earth, human beings should have enough wisdom naturally to know that there are certain things that we have to attain to before we can step on to other things. When people deal with the spiritual side, they throw all that out. And that's why many people never grow up spiritually. That's why their faith never develops. Because they throw out a lot of things. They just decide like, oh, this, I'm in a candy store. We can learn this, 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 and this, and this. And I'm just going to pick this, and I'm going to pick that. You can't do that. This is one of the things is why with so many people are just sort of on their own in their Christianity. That's why I would stay, the Lord told me to stay listening to Kenneth Hagin, because staying over with him, he gave me a lot of wisdom because of his years of ministry and years as a Christian. And things he taught me, I didn't have to make the same. He said, he told us in school, he said, if you listen to what I teach you, you won't have to make the same mistakes I made. You won't have to do that. You can hear those things. Well, it's good. That's one of the things is I think what's wrong with our educational system today. Because we have children teaching children. They're coming out of college and there ain't nothing but a bunch of kids. And most of them don't know enough of anything. They don't have enough of life experience to teach anybody anything. They can't even live their own lives. Life experience. I listen to Kenneth Hagin said, he said, a man who's 80 years old as a sinner could teach you something. He said he's lived on this earth long enough to learn some things. Experience is an incredible thing. Most people, most Christians have very little experience with God. And they can't because they have really been taught to just sort of do what we like, what you ever like, and you like this, and you just do that. It's not the way it works. If it don't work that way in the natural, and understand, God set the laws for learning that we'd use in the natural. You don't just throw them aside and say when it comes over to spiritual, you just throw it out. And so one of the things is dealing in the area is experience. I learned, man, you listen to somebody that's got some experience. Kenneth Hagin had a lot of proven experience, and God told me, you stay close and listen to what he has to say. Stay close and listen. And you know, I learned a lot of things that weren't necessarily, you know, things, scriptures in the Bible, but I learned a lot of wisdom from him in just over years of the years that he walked in the earth of things to do and not to do. Things that are just good, sound wisdom things. And they work. Well, he learned those things by because he followed the Word of God. You know, there is spiritual etiquette, which most of the church knows nothing about. You know, Christians just think, you know, I just pray, barge in on God anytime I want. We got this idea. You just run into daddy anytime you want and throw yourself on him. And he's, you might get away with that when you start off, but after a while, he's going to expect you to clean your shoes off before you come and jump on his lap. Oh, yeah. But see, we have this sloppy grace because, see, people didn't learn. It's just like in your house. Did you let your kids just run muddy shoes and run through the house and stuff? Did you do that? Or did you, hey, hold it, take those off, you know, or, you know, clean your shoes off before you do that. But people do. They just think God and grace is we just throw out there. So people really don't have any systematic way of following this. God's plan of redemption was a wonderfully legal way that he laid out to defeat Satan legally. Satan ain't gonna have, God is no rebel. God ain't waving rebel flags. God does never go against his law or his word. If he does, you have no place to stay in faith. He will keep his word. He will keep his word. And in his word, he laid out in the word, which Satan never saw, Satan never understood or could see. When he got over out into darkness, you know, he became lost to the spiritual truths of many things. Satan could quote scriptures, but he didn't see the end result of what was going on. He couldn't see. He lost light to see ahead. And he walked down the road and he thought, oh man, he got this thing on. He got the, I got the Son of God on a cross. Woohoo! We're going to kill him. He took the sin of the world. We're going to end up with him in hell. He's finished. But he never saw. He never saw the plan because he never understood it from the beginning. He did not realize what God had laid out, the trap for him. And he did it through his man. And God would do anything to redeem man. He would do, and that was his whole plan. He would do anything to redeem man. Just in the fact that God stepped out of heaven and became a man is in itself proof alone that God would do anything to redeem a man. Anything. And so, God's great loves. So we're not living by the sense realm. We're not walking in the sense realm. There's words, and you know, you and I are so fortunate. We got the words of this book. You know, people say, well, how can you just live just by this little old book? This little old book is so powerful, just the words that we have written this book, that you and I can live in a successful, powerful life. Hallelujah. Always having our needs met, always healed, always sound, always well, blessed and blessing others, just on the revelation of this book. This book alone that was passed down to us. It's enough. I want to tell you what. There's people that live totally successful, phenomenal Christian lives and never had another book in their hand. Smith Wigglesworth was a man of miracles and would never read anything but the Bible. You weren't even allowed to bring a newspaper at his house. Everything else stayed out. The only thing he would read was the Bible. He didn't go around reading everybody else's books. And they sit around, those guys that write all these books today, well, they do. They talk about guys like him. They try to use him as a reference of the miraculous God that they don't know. Amen. Good preaching. They use him. Why? Because he learned about the book. Now, I'm saying you can't read anything else or learn anything from it. But you know what? He lived successful with that. Oh, we think we need so much today, you know. We think we need all the preachers on the TV. You don't need them on. You don't need them. Thank God they're out there. They can do it. If they're in the will of God or not, that's up to them. I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. That book is enough. Now, Smith Wigglesworth ain't the only guy that did that. There's numbers of people who lived and did that. I want you to understand this. It's down over the years, before the Bible was printed and people have it, there's people who live successful, wonderful Christian lives following God. Those were back in the days when people had to seek God for themselves and hear from heaven. How did they do that? See, there is a walk of faith, and I want you to know, we need to hear from heaven. One of the greatest losses that we have today is people are not hearing from heaven anymore. We're waiting to hear somebody just in an audible voice speak to us, tell us what to do, tell us what our next thing, do this, do that, do this, you know. You know, here's where you ought to give your money, this is what you ought to do, this and this way. A lot of people talking about by faith. People wonder why they don't get money by my giver. Why don't I get back like I should? Lots of times it's because really they haven't given by faith. They've never got God involved in their giving. They've always let man dictate their giving. They've let men dictate what they should do with their money. They haven't walked by faith. They don't know what God has said to them. You know, there's all kind of wonderful things out here to do, but I'm not called to support them all. That doesn't mean any of them are bad. But I need to find, God, what am I supposed to do? Where do I hook in? Where do I fit? You know, what do you want me to do? You know, we talk and people say, oh, God, my money's God's money. And then they'd go give money to whatever they want to. And they'll say, well, you know, I'm doing this for the Lord. Well, did you ask him? If your kid came along or somebody found your wallet and you had $1,000 in it and they just gave it away for you. See, I gave your wallet back with $1,000. I just gave it. You'd be all upset. Yeah, when people do that to God all the time. See, yeah, we're doing it for Jesus, you know. Did you ask him? No, I just found his wallet and gave it away. Hallelujah. That was good preaching anyhow. Glory to God. But anyhow, we got looking over these areas. But we found out, and we talked about, without faith, you can't please God. You can't do it. It's impossible. When you believe God, you must believe that God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. You get reward. If you're not reward-oriented, you are not faith-oriented. Now, that does not mean like people think today. There's a lot of people out here, they're just gimme, gimme, gimme. That's not what it's about. But God is reward-oriented. Faith is always about reward. It is. That's what, you know, and I'm sorry, people out here are like, oh, man, yeah, they're always talking about getting something. Well, I'm sorry, God set the program. Faith is about being rewarded. When you're believing or you're walking by faith, you know, when you're out here just following God, doing His will, just walking along in life, what might not even seem like much of anything to do, and just knowing, like you're walking along, He tells you to live a right life, love your neighbor. You're just doing that. You're doing the Word of God. That's walking by faith. I will guarantee you, just as sure as the sun comes up in the morning, you will be rewarded for that. Reward will come to you. So many people say, well, I don't do this to get reward. And they might be right. We're not doing it intentionally thinking about reward. But I'm sorry, get used to the fact you should expect reward, because that's God's system. That's God's system. God's system is to reward His people. Now, not all reward is this life. There's reward in life to come, which is good. But I like the idea, let's get it here and there. I was always taught in Christianity, all the reward's over on that side. And so they talked about living by faith here, but they didn't. They told you, well, you know, you can't love money and don't like money, but boy, they held on to it. They were the people who held on to it, telling you, you shouldn't have it. And they were trying to get yours if they could. But, you know, but we need to understand, it's a reward system. You must believe that God is going to reward you for following His plan. You got to believe that. If you don't believe that, you will not live a life of faith. Because what you see is end up going to God. You're going to dictate whether or not you can give by what you see you have. You're going to, God's going to say, I want you to do this. You know, it's like God's times told me to do certain things. And they just didn't seem financially at the time. It ought to be doing this. Say, surely there was another voice spoke to Ed. So Ed would go back and talk, and the same voice kept telling me the same thing. And I thought, boy, I can hear the devil so good. Why can't I hear God? But see, what I was hearing was not matching up with what I was seeing, but I was taking what I... Hold it. This can't be God because I see this. See, I see this. That can't be God talking to me because I see that. Now, folks, I know you guys have never done that. I'll just tell you, we have all done that. We have all judged. We were in and we had things and we judged. And we didn't think we were hearing from God because it didn't match what we were seeing. Now, I've learned to get over that a lot more. God don't have to hassle me as much as He used to about that stuff. Because over time, I've learned about the reward and how it works. And I've learned more about it. And I get a little more willing about the areas of, hey, let's just give. Let's just do that. But that was something I had to get over. I had to come through, and it didn't happen overnight. I didn't come to this great place of faith and say, hey, let's just get the checkbook out and write them out right now. Let's just go to... You didn't start there, you know. And so something attaining to is doing those things, but not just that. Sometimes God telling me to go do something that, you know, I knew that, oh, this ain't the thing, you know. Praying one day, and the Lord tells me when I was living in Canal Street to get down to one neighbor and talk to them and tell these people, go down and tell them if they would do such and such and obey God, He'd bless them. Well, they didn't have a blessing out of it because I went down and told them. I eventually did it. But it took me a long time till God drug me out of the house. He didn't literally drag me out, but I'll tell you what, He had a hard time. It took Him hours to get me to obey that. There's some things took Him days, weeks, and years to get me to obey. Now, I know none of you have that problem. I know you all are just so spiritual and you know, you got halos and wings and stuff. And I didn't get my wings yet. I didn't get them yet. I ain't earned my wings. So, you know, I never did hear the bell. I didn't get the wings. I guess my ears aren't, I don't hear as well as some of you. But anyhow, but you know, you do it. But you know, got me down. But I went down and I talked to him and told him. And you know, it was the whole thing of it is. And the wife ended up losing her child and God was trying to bring it to a stop. God wanted her, she ended up losing a child and she wouldn't have had to. God just wanted me to do a simple thing, just trust Him. And He told me to go down and tell him, go down and talk to him. And at the time, there was three different people were in the same situation. Two of them I didn't have to go talk to, but the one I did, the one He told me I had to. You need to go down and talk to them. At this day, I don't know why I had to go talk to them, but the other two, just praying, you know, God, they didn't lose their children. But the one did. And all I just knew is I had to obey God and went down and you know, that was not an easy thing for me to get down to somebody's house. And, you know, we knew them in general down. But, I mean, you know, not like close friends or anything. And, you know, here's this crazy Christian up the street. And understand, they lived in that street when Ed was the wild sinner. The drugs and alcohol Ed. Terrorizing. They knew him. And all of a sudden, he got to be this Christian terror. All of a sudden, he became this different man. And, you know, and I went down there and talked to them and, you know, and I just knew God loved God. When I just told them about God's love, but they just insisted, well, the doctor said, and, you know, they just, and, but, you know, sometimes we have to do this. But one of the things is just being led by the Spirit of God. You know, and the whole thing of it is walking by faith. Most people will teach you and talk to you, the faith people talk to you, like if you walk by faith, everything is going to work out. No, it's not. many things that you walk, God may tell you to do for people, other people. It may not turn out. God's had me go witness to people and witness to them and that stuff and people. And people, I've gone and witnessed to them and they didn't receive Christ. And sometimes people have died, went off to hell, but God had me go talk to them. So one thing, when they leave this earth, they could never say they didn't know. See, God sent me to people. See, we have the idea, well, if I do this and it's all good. I've had people come to me, well, I went to God told me to do such and such and they won't listen to me about it. Well, what do you care? Your job was to do what God said. You don't save them. You don't make it happen. You know, you can't do it. You're the messenger. And that's what I learned a long time ago. It's just a messenger. That's what I am, the messenger. I'm not the deliverer. If I was the deliverer, you would all be going to hell. Because I couldn't deliver none of you. And so we do. So, you know, don't get over into things of just because we're doing the will of God, everything works out from that standpoint with people. Because people have a choice about what they do. On the other hand, I've seen wonderfully. God sent me to people and stuff and I went to them and they've listened to it and wonderful things have happened over the years. And some people, they don't listen. But I've learned, you just obey it. This is about living and walking by faith, folks. This is about this crazy faith stuff that I'm talking about here. Hallelujah. We're living this thing by faith. We're walking. God is a rewarder. It's the whole thing within. I go over the things of reward. And just like the things of reward, sometimes a follow things in your heart is like a thing with me where $1,000 came to Wanda and I during a period of time where, and this is back years ago. This is back before I went to Rhema. And $1,000 came to me. And when I got that $1,000, I don't know why, but inside, I just sense, and you know, I don't think it was God. It was just my heart. You know, we need to understand this. Sometimes it's just our heart's desire. And if God doesn't move you in a different direction than your heart wants to go, go with it. And I just had a desire about giving that money away. And I'll tell you, Wanda and I could have used $1,000. I want to tell you, we could have used $1,000. But somehow in my heart, I just couldn't. I said, Lord, I said, if you want me to do something with this money, I said, I'll do it. I said, if you want me to give it to somebody or do something with it. And the Lord said to me, he said, if you want to keep that money, he said, that money's yours. He said, you can do whatever you want with it. He said, it's your money. So he wasn't telling me. He had a plan for it. He said, it's your money. What you want to do? And I said, Lord, I just, is there somebody or something that you want me to do? Is there, you'd like me to do something? And I didn't realize what I was just putting myself was available to God to say, God, is there somebody out here who needs something's help? And then, but the Lord turned around and said to me this. He said, who would you like to give it to? Well, up that time, I never had $1,000 at a shot to give to Kenneth E. Hagin, to his ministry. But I'll tell you what, I always felt I owed him because of what he put into me, what he taught me. Now, this is before I ever went to Rhema. The things that I learned from his books and his tapes of listening. And I said, Lord, I said, I'd like just send it, give that to him. And he said, well, if you want to, you can. And I gave that $1,000. When Wanda and I went to Rhema, I'm going to tell you what, things just supernaturally worked for us. I'm going to tell you what, you would have thought in Rhema we were pretty well made of money, and most people thought we were. Money just came to us and came to us and came to us at Rhema. We were always doing, Wanda and I were always doing stuff to other people and doing stuff and helping other people and giving them money, doing things. Money would come to us. We weren't living some kind of great, huge, lavish lifestyle, but money was just coming. We always had money. I mean, money was always there. I don't know what you know it's like. I mean, I went from a good-paying job working for Hershey Foods and turned around and went out there and had a minimum wage job. It wasn't minimum wage today. And I had a minimum wage job and Wanda had a minimum wage job. And we moved out there, and money just came to us and came to us and came to us. And things worked over. And I will never forget, it was the spring, probably somewhere around, in fact, that spring, I had a number of really supernatural experiences happen that spring before I graduated in 1989. But that spring, probably it was around the end of March or the beginning of April, school was finishing out. I knew we didn't have long, you know, we're finished coming up and our final exams are coming up and things. And I just remember, I just, And I was walking one day, and to me, like, these experiences are just like, you know, they happened yesterday. I could probably take you right here today and take you to the exact spot where I was walking. When the voice came to me, I know exactly what was around me at the time. I could even show you some of the people that were there. But I was sort of minding my own business. I'm walking, and I just said to the Lord, I said, you know, this has been a phenomenal time that I've been here. I'm not sure talking to him myself. This has just been phenomenal. And I watched people who were there, and they talk about faith and believing God. And I watched people struggle and get through things, and, you know, going and not having enough money and just barely getting by with paying tuition and stuff for school, and, you know, and all your other bills and stuff you got, and you're doing all this stuff, and and I said, Lord, man, we lacked nothing. I said, it's been great because we've been able to bless people. While we were there in school, we were able to give offerings to the ministry. It was phenomenal, the stuff that we were able to give and do. It was wonderful. Great time. And I said, Lord, why? He said, everything that you've seen happen to you in the past 2 years, he said, happened to you because of that $1,000 that you gave. And he took. I forgot all about that $1,000. I hadn't even thought about that $1,000. He said, that $1,000 you gave? He said, everything you've happened to you in here 2 years came because of that $1,000. See, sometimes your heart wants to do things, but your mind will try to talk you out of it. And it's about your blessing to come. Now understand, when I gave that $1,000, it was about 3 or 4 years till I went to Rhema. So we're backing up. So it's about 6 years later. God says to me, remember back yonder. Kenneth Hagin told the story about just following God. The Lord told him to do this. A minister showed up at his church, and he showed up at his church because he was trying to get home from a meeting he was at, and he didn't have the money, and he only had a bus ticket to his town, and he got the bus ticket to his town. And this man, now this is back in Depression days. People didn't have a lot of money. This guy needed something like 20-some dollars for a bus ticket. Now that sound like nothing today. 20-some dollars back then was big bucks. And he said, you need to give that guy the money. He told him to, not the people in the church. You give him the money so he can get home. He said, I went home. He said, I don't know if I had more than one or two bills to give him. The rest was all change. He said, we went through every can and everything we had where we put any quarter or nickel in till I dug the money together. And he said, I took it. And he said, it's Christmas time. And he said, Lord, it's Christmas time. And he said, man, the kids and stuff, Christmas time. He went and took that money and gave it to that. He obeyed it. Now, I'm sure he did some of what I did sometimes in those things. It's like, this. It's like stretch faith. It's hard for me to be able to see beyond that $20. It's hard to look beyond that. It's hard to see. You know, you're looking, you see that $20, you know. Well, I'll tell you, that $1,000 was huge dust, but Kenneth Hagin gave him that money. It was some years later, one night in a meeting, they brought a man in a stretcher. Kenneth Hagin was standing on the platform, and the Spirit of the Lord came on him. He walked down off the platform. This man's laying on a stretcher. He was dying. They brought him in by ambulance, and like this was his man's last chance, last hope, you know, of anything. He said the guy was just, you know, body's emaciated, like, you know, skinny. He walked down and he stood, and he said, he told the people, now the Spirit of God was on him and told him this. Spirit of God came on him and said, told him, you tell the people that you're going to command this man to rise up and walk and be totally healed. If it doesn't work, you're a false prophet. Well, man, I'm going to tell you, that'll stretch you too. I don't know about you. But he obeyed it, walked down in front of the man, told the people that, and told the guy to get up. The guy got up completely well. This is what the Lord told Kenneth Hagin that night after that. He reminded Kenneth Hagin, he said, you remember that money you gave that minister for that ticket? This is years past. Years past. He said, do you remember that? He said, man, I had to think back and, oh yeah. Oh, okay. He said, if you hadn't done that, that wouldn't have happened tonight. See, this obedience is about the future. This is why you walk by faith, because God's a rewarder. You know, I learned from Kenneth Hagin, you know, we don't get reward, you know, it don't show up like every Friday or every two weeks in a paycheck. Wouldn't it be nice? But, you know, it wouldn't require no faith to live by that. This is what they say, most Americans live paycheck to paycheck. The reason they do, there ain't no faith. Because you only live by what you see. I said, they're living by what they see. Don't go there. Don't live by paycheck. Because you know what? You'll always be looking for every 2 weeks and you ain't expecting to get blessed in between or anything else. You're waiting for your next pay. I don't know where that came from, but that was a good one anyhow. Hallelujah. But see what? God's a rewarder. You know, just think about that. Can you imagine the blessing that it was upon that family for that man to be healed? Because of the obedience, that reward of that obedience was a man to be totally delivered. I often wondered how many people it inspired them to believe God then for their own lives and own health. How many people it may have inspired. How many people came to Christ through something like that. How many people because of doing that. What a reward. What a reward. It wasn't by that man's faith that he got up. It was because of a man's obedience. And see, I'm talking about these things because it isn't really going to go as we're teaching. You know, I keep wanting to get over around that Abraham guy. You know, the Lord told me, he said one day we're going to get over there about him. But you need to understand, this is the kind of man Abraham was. You and I got born again today, and I'm because a man was willing to go in a land which he never received. He had the promise, but he never got the promise. He never owned any of the land the whole time he was there. And centuries passed, and the Messiah came because of his faith. We know that God showed him the future because it said he wasn't looking for a city in the earth. He was looking for a heavenly city. He saw down the reward of down the road, and he was willing to settle to follow the plan of God, whether he got it all or not. It was the blessing upon humanity down the road is what he was after. God is a rewarder of anyone who walks by faith. One person walking by faith can change the ages. One person. One person. See, we think today we have this whole thing of people, you know, who am I? What am I? Well, faith in God, what are you? See, when we talk about seeing ourselves as insignificant, that's a good idea we haven't developed in faith. You know, would you sit down and say, well, what could God do? You know, he's God, but yeah, you know, how big is he? You know, you said something like that, people would like get astounded that you'd say such a thing. And you'd probably be astounded anything so stupid came out of your mouth around people like that. But nonetheless, people all the time are talking about, who am I? And then it's on the next breath talking about trusting God. Oh, when you trust God, when you trust God, how insignificant it may seem. Because a man gave like $20, I think it was like $19 and something, or was a ticket. It was some odd number, you know. But anyhow, doing that really resurrected a guy from the dead. Just by doing that. Obeying God. Just obeying God. How many generations were blessed by that through that family? And who knows what else may have been? Smith's Wigglesworth. Let's see, who did he lay hands on? What's his name from? Dr. Anyhow, we had his ministry. The whole thing, a man just lived a life by faith. It is amazing. People that he just laid his hands on, Lester Summerall. Dr. Lester Summerall. He had the opportunity to have Smith Wigglesworth lay his hand on him and pray for him as a young boy. And man, I'm going to tell you what, it did something. I mean, every demon in hell was scared of that man. Lester Summerall could cast the devil out. He showed up. If anybody had a devil in them, they wanted to get away. Lester, but he had his hand. And you know what? It's because of a man. Followed God and walked. He imparted something that generation, a whole generation, got to walk and see and under that anointing because of that. Kenneth Hagin, his walking by faith. It's what he put out and what he did, revolutionizing, changing people's lives. It did because he walked by faith. The anointing on my life came because he honored the anointing in his life. He honored the anointing. If he hadn't, he hadn't walked by faith. He hadn't done the things that he did. I would never stand under the anointing that I do today. It's been passed down. That's why I just, people who walk and follow God, I just admire them, because where would we be if people hadn't walked and followed God? You and I got saved because people walked and followed God. Somebody called on the name of Jesus for us before we ever called on the name. Somebody believed. Somebody did something. Hallelujah. And see, we need it. This life of faith is a phenomenal thing. The church has lost it. The church sees themselves as something as little and ineffective today. I'm going to tell you, if you're following God and you have a hunger and thirst for righteousness, if you get full, the full ain't just for you. The full overflows. God's never filled anything that hasn't affected something else. It's never happened. And it never will happen, because God's a rewarder. And he don't just reward you. God's a rewarder. When you stand in faith, when Abraham stood in faith and he walked with God, God blessed him. And God blessed generation after generation. God honored men and women who were out of his heritage, not because they walked right, just because they were under his lineage. He walked by faith. David walked by faith. And walking by faith, heathens come out of him. But yet God honored their kingship because they were a son of David. Tell me, walk by faith don't amount to something? When the Lord told me, when I asked him, how come I didn't die? I wanted to know how all the crazy nonsense I did and drug overdoses and do stupid stuff. God, why, what's me? And he made, God just told me. He said, I saved you because your father. He said, I did. He said, he walked righteous before me. He didn't save me because dad just said, save me. Take care of that kid. Dad did some stuff. Dad walked in a way that changed some things. I always feel so sorry for families who have no Christians in them. You'll find this out. They've done studies. The majority of people today that are saved is because there's been people saved in their families. There's very few people come to Christ outside of people who have families with Christ in them. God honors this thing. You're passing down heritage. And we need to know that. There's people of walking right. God's rewarding. God reward me. And the Lord said to me, He said, the word doesn't say Noah's family was righteous. It says he was righteous. He said, I spared his family because he was righteous. I don't think his family was one of his big cheerleaders out there building the ark. But you know what? Your family, you just love them. That's why God told me. He spoke to me the one day. You know, I was born again. In fact, it would be 1983. In July 1983, I was praying. I was going out to... I'm going to go to Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting that year. And I was just praying about it because the Lord had been speaking to me about the anointing. And I was just talking to him about what I should do or what am I supposed to do when I go out there. He kept dealing with me about the anointing. I was going to get an anointing. And well, what am I supposed to do? Is there anything I'm supposed to be doing about this or whatever? And I was just sort of trying, minding my own business. Out of the clear blue, just praying. All of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord just as clearly spoke to me. He said, because you've walked and done what I've told you to do, and he said, you've obeyed me, he said, I'm going to bring your whole family in. He said, I'll bring all your brothers and sisters in. Reward. You've done what I told you to do. You've just been obedient. I didn't. When I look back, I thought, well, what big feat did I do? What did I do? All I did, but I just followed what I understood and just did that. That's all I did. Just doing the things, you know. Sometimes it didn't seem like no big thing at all. Just following and do it. Went out there, and just as sure as he said, that took place. I got the teaching anointing came on me out there. Hallelujah. That teaching anointing came in, and it just really changed my life completely. Because I could never see myself really as being a teacher, as I thought, you know, it's just, you know. And it just totally changed me in that. But from that time on. And you know, just like, you know, you talk God and his word, just like my sister, all her life, my oldest sister, she is in her 80s. She's dying. Doctors saying, you know, she's gone, there's nothing. You know, and I knew the standpoint, and, you know, they went and called and said about she's, you know, dying and she's going to die. And I just went right to the Lord. I told him, well, Lord, she can't die without getting saved. I said, she can't leave this earth. That'd make you a liar. You told me, because I did what you told me to do, you said you were going to bring my family in. Now, I expect you to do that. So, yeah, that has to be done. She can't die till she gets saved. She was one who would never listen to any Christian ever talk to her about Christ. She wouldn't have nothing to do with it. She never would. My other sister who lived down in Florida, where she was at down there, and who is a Christian, they were at a prayer meeting. And they were at this prayer meeting, and this Korean lady comes up to her, who's a spirit-filled Korean lady, and said, I'm going to go to the hospital. God told me to go see your sister. And she went down, saw my sister, and talked to her. My sister got born again. Accepted Jesus. Would not listen. I mean, even up all this time when she was sick and everything, she wouldn't listen to nobody with nothing. But you know what? I had a promise from God. It was impossible for her not to get saved. If she wouldn't have gotten saved, I wouldn't follow Jesus 2 minutes. He's a liar. Why would I have to keep my word and be good if he don't? I'm going to tell you, his word is good. Do you know what? I got reward. I walked by faith and I got reward. I got reward. My sister's going to be in heaven. Hallelujah. And they always thought my sister Helen wasn't going to make it. Hallelujah. But I've known better. I've known since 1963 that she was going to be in heaven. I got other ones. I got another older brother. And I tell you, it looks like he's trying not to go there. But I'm sorry. It done heard from heaven. That's settled. People say, well, you pray for them? Never a lick. Why would I pray about for what's done? My job now is to walk by faith, acting like it's so. To me, going and praying like God ain't doing it ain't nothing but a bunch of unbelief. I heard from heaven. There's one thing as I learned. Once I have heard God speak, that's all I need. I've learned by tripping up. I'd hear God speaking and I'd want another. No, I'd rather have another answer, God. Please give me, tell me something else. But I'll tell you, once where I hear God speak, I don't pray about it anymore. Why would I pray about it? Faith comes by hearing the word. I have all I need. I got all the faith I need is to believe what he said he was going to do. My job is now to start living like that's true. That's my walk of faith. Hallelujah. He's done bringing them in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just like my offspring. You know, he gave me the 128th Psalm. That settled it. You pray for your kids, not like people pray for their kids. Most people pray for their kids to their own detriment. Oh yeah, full of unbelief. Think if they whine and cry a lot. No, you go over and you get in faith. Number one, the devil ain't having my kids. That's settled. I don't care if they live like hell up to their last breath. Before that one's taken, they're getting right and going home. That's it. We ain't doing nothing else. Because God told me through that psalm, and the psalm says, the man who fears the Lord walks in his way, his wife will be as a fruitful vine by his house, and his children as olive plants around his table. That's the way it will be. And that's for eternity. That ain't for here on earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My sister never ate at my table till she left. But we're going to have eternity together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! That's what counts. You know, we like to have people living for God here. It would be good. But, you know, just get them in. Dear Lord. I mean, missing hell's wonderful. Missing hell is great. And you stand in faith. Hallelujah. If you'll walk with God, I will guarantee you, you will be rewarded. That's all God's ever taught me about it. I walk with Him. I walk with Him. My family is going to be rewarded. My family would be rewarded. I've seen it with my children, my offspring and that stuff. The blessing, it comes in their life. There's a lot of that blessing and that comes. Now, it doesn't, I'm not trying to minimize their faith when I say this. But a lot of it's come because of where I've walked. It passes on. And you know what? They can pass it on too. See, they can walk and pass it on. I warned my family at my father's funeral. Because there's a lot of blessing my family got because of my dad's walking. I told him at the funeral. I told him, if you don't get right and start, some of you don't start living right, you're going to find that you've got big problems in your family. Because you've been living off of somebody else's reward. I've learned to walk in the reward that my dad had. And pass it on. But some of my family hasn't learned that. And they've had a lot of problems. Their kids living like hell, doing all kinds of stuff. Because you haven't learned to live in reward. You pass reward on. You pass it on. Hallelujah. You're rewarded. Don't ever talk about yourself not being rewarded. Don't talk about what your kids are doing and the evil they're doing. And, you know, and say, man, I'll tell you what, they just won't get right. You can sit around and talk all that stuff all you want. And all it does is get you full of sin and kills every bit of faith you got. I don't care what they're doing. I learned a long time ago, don't look at what you see. I have enough keeping Ed straight about Ed. Without, you know, you're one of those people like to find out every dirty detail about somebody, something what they did wrong, and you're running around asking questions about it. You need somebody to smack you on the head. Something wrong with you, you idiot. And I ain't trying to be kind, because you're doing nothing but destroying your own faith. Don't destroy your own faith. You trust, I'll tell you what, I learned to ignore. Ignore, hallelujah. I don't need to know the dirty details. The details that Ed needs in the book. God's going to reward me. God will reward my family because I walk right. I got rewarded because my daddy walked right. And I was rewarded. I didn't die when I should have. The devil had opportunity to kill me, and my daddy kept me alive by just walking in the light that he had. Kept me alive. Man, what could you say? I mean, anything in my dad's life, whatever he'd have tried to do for me would be a spit to what doing that. Following God. I know some in the family knocked him about his following and walking with God. But his brothers and sisters became Christians because of his walk. He didn't come out of a Christian family. He got born again, a family of 17 kids. His whole family came to Christ through him over the years of his walk. Yet they made fun of him all the time. They made fun of him. He was this crazy Christian guy. He didn't do what they did anymore and live like they did. Everybody in his family came to Christ. Everybody in his family ended up coming to Christ through his walk. You talk about reward. In the earth, many people say, well, what did your dad do as a Christian? You can sit down and say all these different things. He passed on a heritage that many of these TV ministers never pass on to nobody. They don't understand what this thing's about. It's a powerful thing when you believe God. The day you accepted Jesus changed things in the universe. Glory to God. And you have the ability, woo, to trust God and to change things. Hallelujah. We're passing a heritage on. We ain't going to become some small little group, gets all beat up, and Jesus is going to have to come down and drag us out of here because it don't work. The devil will be, Lord, take them away. We can't stand these people anymore. My God. We'll drive the devil crazy. You walk by faith, you'll drive the devil crazy. He don't want to do it because he can't torment you. You walk by faith, he can't torment you. He can't make you nuts. He knows the people that already follow him are. But he wants to make you crazy. Don't let him make you crazy. Walk by faith. Hallelujah. You trust God. Start believing you have a effect. You're having an effect in this life. Hallelujah. God's rewarding you for your walk of faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't worry about what it seems like, you know, is going on in the generation, you know, your kids and all this kind of stuff. Don't ever worry about those things. Don't ever allow an little bit, itsy bitsy bit of worry to ever come in that. God's a rewarder. Your family, God's a rewarder. If God would reach out because of my walk and touch my brothers and sisters, well, then he'll do it for you too. He's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. See, it don't matter what we might have missed, it's what we do with what we got now. You know what the devil will try to get you to do and people try to get you to do is to live about the water that went over the dam. I don't care about yesterday. I don't care about the problem of yesterday. We're dealing now. Hallelujah. Yesterday I might be an idiot. Today I'm in faith. Hallelujah. Yesterday I may have blown it, but today I'm believing. Today I'm walking with God. Today I'm changing things. It doesn't matter where I missed it, where it went over. And that's why most people never grow, because they're always spending their time of what happened before and what went on. It don't matter. God don't judge you about what happened yesterday. What are you going to do today? You're going to walk by faith today? You know what he's going to say? There's reward coming. Glory to God. You got reward coming. Hallelujah. Why? Because God changes not. Yesterday and the simple thing of repentance. And yesterday is under the blood. And it matters not. Hallelujah. And you're just right on the road to success. Or you can hang on that, yeah, well, I messed up again. Say, nope, I'm in faith today. Mr. Faith ain't ever messed up. You know, when I walk with faith, I've never messed up. I've only messed up when I got in the flesh. I started living the seeing life. When I'm walking by faith, I've never messed up. But you know what? When I mess up, I can get right back in the faith life. I can get back. I don't have to wait for weeks to get back to where I feel like I'm back in fellowship with God. I can do it in 2 seconds. God, the idiot messed up. Forgive me, wash me, cleanse me. Okay, now thank you because you did it. Now we're walking in faith again. We're putting the brakes on what's been going on. And he loves that kind of a thing. Most people think God loves me to whine for about 4 or 5 weeks over that thing to really prove to him. Because that's what people, they'll want you to do all kinds of things to prove when you said you were sorry, you know. They'll want you to low crawl through the house 4 or 5 times and do some things and, you know, to prove. Well, I'm sorry, God ain't fleshly. If you said from your heart you missed it, you confessed your sin, God don't consider you did anything wrong. You can crawl around all you want, but you're wasting your time. You can plead all you want, but you're wasting your time. The thing to do is get up and say, God, now I'm going to please you. I didn't please you when I did something dumb, but now I'm going to please you. I'm going to believe you. He goes, good. Why? Because I want a reward. I want to reward you. Understand this. If we do not walk by faith, really, in many ways, we hurt God. Because God's whole plan is to bless humanity. When I don't walk by faith, we stop God from doing what he loves to do, and that's reward. He tells me I must live by faith, the just shall live by faith, then the just will have reward. So if I don't live by faith, he don't get to give reward. Well, he told me he wants me to live by faith, so he must really want to give reward. He must really like to do it. So when people won't walk by faith, can you imagine? God sent his son Jesus. He died, took the sickness and disease everywhere. And we look out through this world, all the sickness and disease. Can you imagine how it breaks his heart when he wants to reward everybody with wellness? He wants to make everybody well. What it must be in his heart to look down and say, people won't walk in faith. They say, well, you know, God sometimes wants you to be sick. And, you know, this is just the way it is in life. And as you get older, you know, it just gets... and people say those things, can you imagine how it breaks the heart of God? Because his whole plan is designed for reward. You walk by faith, I get to bless you. I could almost see God beg, please walk by faith. Please, please walk by faith. I want to do something. Please, I want a reward. I want a reward. That's why people say, well, you know, God don't heal. That has to be stupid. If he told me to walk by faith, he wants to reward me. This is absolutely stupid to think. Wow, he wants to reward, and he will reward you. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. If you've missed it anywhere, confess your sin. He's faithful and just. Just confess your sin. Don't wait on it. Just go ahead and do it. And just turn right around and act in faith again. Act like you didn't sin. Act like you can stand right now in the presence of God as if you did nothing wrong, because that's what you should be doing. Hallelujah. Start acting like God will bring your family in, don't matter. Start acting like it's true. I mean, start getting into the actions of it. Hallelujah. When you think of, I can truthfully say that when the Lord spoke to me that about bringing my family in, that just changed everything for me concerning my family. I never gave thought again after that any of them would be lost. I refused to. The devil used to try to get me to pray for them. And then from the standpoint, to get them saved. Huh? What should we do? Why? Act like that thing wasn't working that God told me. The Lord said to me, you did what you're supposed to do. And look, we have scriptural precedents for it. 128 Psalm. We got scriptural precedents for it. You go over and look at the blessing under the law. It said you'll be blessed in the fruit of your body. Are you blessed with your kids in hell? Are you blessed with your kids sick and you're blessed with, is that blessing? Well, if I've been redeemed from the curse was that your offspring would get weird and be crazy and sick and not follow God. That's curse. Say, I'm sorry, that ain't for me. That ain't for me. No. That ain't for my seed. My seed ain't going there. I mean, God wants your chicken well. I mean, dear Lord, God wants your dog well. The blessing under the law was any of the animals you had and anything else. God wants your stuff well. God wants your stuff working. You know, God wants your car working. You know, things might wear out in the natural and we may have to replace the days. But I'll tell you what, there's some time we're replacing things too many times. You know, we got to get over and live on the blessing where things work. Start getting our thinking back in the right order again. Getting our minds renewed. Hallelujah. When you think about it, especially, you know, in the areas, you know, God's really has me today concerning your offspring. Your offspring, your family. Moms and dads, if they ain't saved, get believing God. Get over there, God. This is what, go get the scripture out. You redeem me from the curse. This is my family. These are the people I love. These are the ones, Lord God, I'm going to tell you, God's interest. It's your family. It's your loved ones. You think God's going to sit down with, like, I don't really want to have time to talk to you about these. These are your loved ones. You know, you're saints of God. Hallelujah. God's going to reward you. I thank you, Father God. Father, I'm so glad that you're interested in every area of our life. I thank you, Father God. Father, concerning our loved ones, our families, whether it might be moms, dads, brothers, sisters, our own children, and Lord God, people, Lord God, that are lost. Father God, we have down through the generations of time, Lord God, Abraham and them, they weren't special men to a special blessing that nobody else can have. Lord God, Abraham, the Bible said, look for our day. Hallelujah. Why? Because this is the day of the greater blessing.